Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have with me an artist. Her name is Cherie Karen Dan Karen Dennis.
That's right.
All right. Southern is the problem that I have. After a brain injury ended her 25-year nursing career in 2019, Cherie turned to painting as a way to heal and discovered a whole new purpose. Her art is rooted in transformation, weaving grief, gratitude, and grace into honest, expressive works that invite connection and reflection. Each piece is a conversation between her past and her present, guided by intuition and a deep spiritual connection. Today, she continues to serve as a healer, this time through the power of art. Welcome, Cherie.
Thank you so much, Julie. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. We were talking right before the episode. I had showed you a piece of your art that I absolutely love, and it's w w the woman who will not be moved. I probably misspoke, but just the expression in this person's eyes, the determination there is just amazing. So I hope people will go out onto your website and check out your art. It's going to be gorgeous.
Thank you.
But let's before art, back a little bit. In your history, you were a nurse. Now, what led you into nursing?
I think even as a child, I felt like looking back now, I didn't know at the time, but looking back, I think I've always been a healer of some sort. I just was always in that mode, in that mindset of making people feel better. And so when I did go to college, I was actually pre-med, and I studied pre-med for a couple years, and there was something in me that, know thyself. We have to know ourselves. And I knew that if I took that route, I would be married to medicine, that I would just be fully committed into my career as a physician. And I really did want to be a mom and a wife someday. And so something shifted in me, and I got some counsel from some wise people in my life at the time, and nursing came on the radar. And I had never considered it, but I thought, well, maybe this is what I'm looking for, where it's still in the healing world, but I can still have some space to raise children and kind of step in and out of the career if I needed to. And so I became a nurse. And when I graduated, I was a nurse in Tulsa, Oklahoma for about a year. And I just was so restless. I was like, I can't just wake up to the same job, seeing the same people every day. There's got to be more. And so my dad was in the Air Force for 26 years. So I grew up as an Air Force brat. And I found myself, and there's two things I swore I would never do. I'd never be a nurse, and I would never be in the military.
Oh no.
I found myself at the Air Force recruiter's office, and I signed up. I said, I need some excitement in my life, and so I signed up to be an Air Force nurse. And so I joined the Air Force, had an amazing career as an ICU nurse. But then September 11th happened, and I had been training right before that to become a CCAT nurse in the Air Force, and that is a critical care air transport nurse. And so what that is an ICU nurse or a critical care nurse and an intensivist doctor and a respiratory therapist. We create a team called the CCAT team, and we're able to bring ICU level care forward to closer to the front lines. So we are able to set up mini ICUs in any aircraft that was available to us. So it saved a lot of lives to be able to bring that level of care closer to where our troops were being injured. So that was, I trained for it, but at the time it had never been used like in a wartime situation because, September 11th hadn't happened yet. And so when September 11th happened and we were deployed, that was the first time that CCATs kind of did their thing in a wartime situation. And it's the honor of my life to serve our troops in that way and to do everything we could to get them home back to their families. So that was a ride. That was a wild ride in the military. And then after the deployments, I came home and I had already met my husband, and we we got married, and we wanted to have children. And I saw so many of my counterparts leave their babies for deployment, and it just broke my
Ooh,
heart. It broke my heart. I just They're such strong women, and men that have to leave their babies, but these women who, didn't even have a chance to wean their babies, just having to go to war. And so I was like, I don't think that's in me. And I felt like I had done my time. And so we decided that I would separate from the military. And so I did get out. And we ended up in Portland, Oregon, where my husband's family is. And so I felt a little burnt out of nursing. I felt of not nursing, but ICU nursing, that level of nursing. I felt a little burnt out. And so I thought, well, I wonder what else is out there for me. I had no idea. And we had two little babies. So I didn't, want to start a whole new career in nursing. But what I found was I went on an interview just to practice interviewing skills. And I was very honest with the interviewer. I said, I don't think I'm interested in this job. I just need some interviewing skills, because in the military, you don't really interview for jobs. You're assigned. And so I did. And it was a hospice job. And she said, I think you'd really be good at this. And I thought, you know what? I'll try it. And I loved it. And I did it for 15
Did
years.
you? Oh my God.
Just
It takes a
loved it.
special person to help someone die, though.
You
I
know, those
mean,
hospice teams,
yeah.
I felt so honored to be in that such a sacred time of people's lives. It's so vulnerable, so sacred, but such a gift to be able to say goodbye and to have that time. So I grew so much more, like in hospice. And then I got my master's degree in nursing leadership, and I became a hospice nurse manager. And so that was really cool to take care of the carers, to take care of my nurses and to get them any support they needed so that they could go and do that sacred work. So I love it. But then 2019 happened, and I had two brain injuries, and it ended my nursing career. And it was so devastating. It was devastating.
So what happened, if you don't
So
mind my
the
asking?
No, of course. The first was a fall. We were on vacation, and I fell back and hit the back of my head. So that was kind of like the first concussion type injury. And concussions and brain injury are cumulative. So if you've had them over your lifetime, they just kind of stick around and make the next one worse. So I've had a few in my lifetime, and so that one kind of rocked me. But I was getting the help I needed, and I was kind of getting back on my feet. But 6 months later, my father was actually driving me to a vision therapy appointment for the brain injury, and we got in a car accident. And so that was the second brain injury. And that just, my speech was off, my gait, the way I walked was off. Cognitively, I just couldn't connect anymore. It just really, really left some deficits that I couldn't even imagine having. I mean, being a nurse for 25 years, I thought, I get it. I understand. I didn't understand that side of the bed. I didn't. I really didn't. And so it was 6 years ago now. And I would say the first 4 to 5 years were horrible. It's grieving my death while I'm still alive, because I wasn't anymore. I was this very confident, multitasker, a mom that was a PTO mom and a nurse, and involved in my kids' sports, and that I was living that life that I thought I always wanted. And we did have a great life. And then this happened, and all my boys, I have two boys and a husband, and they were taking care of me all of a sudden. They were helping me walk. They were helping me communicate. They were helping me navigate the world with a brain injury. And that just, I hated it. I was like,
I
oh,
imagine so.
I'm not in
Nurses and doctors
control.
are generally the worst
We are. We
patients.
really are. We really are. But
Especially
it taught me
nurses.
that I'm not in control. I never was. I never was. I just thought I was. So that just began a huge healing journey of not just my brain and the physical aspects of it, but my soul, my mind, my perspective of the world and how I fit into it. And so that's when I was going to the rehab, the brain rehab, and the doctors were like, Cherie, the left side of your brain has been injured, and that's where you've lived your whole life. You need to develop the right side of your brain so that it can help, create some new neural pathways. And I thought, I don't even know what that means, really. What is that?
Wow.
Like, that's creativity, mindfulness, presence, that kind of stuff. And I thought, I'm in big trouble. I'm in
Oh
big
dear.
trouble. And so I said, okay, how do I start? And they said, just get a coloring book, just one of those adult coloring books, like a
Yeah.
mandala. So I did, and it was not, that wasn't good at all.
Oh
I hated that.
no.
I thought, oh no, this isn't good. But when I
Oh,
was
why did
studying,
you hate it? What was it
it
about that?
felt
As I loved
so,
color.
that's so, it's so, I think it, now thinking back, it's coloring inside the lines. I was being told what to do.
Okay,
And
yeah.
on a subconscious level, I was like, I've been told too much in my life what to do. I don't want to be
Good
told
for
what to do or how.
you. Good
I
for
didn't know
you.
it at the time. Now I could have, like, oh, that's what was going on. It was my soul just rejecting that on every level. And I just feel it in
Wow.
my body, like, no, I hate it. I literally ripped up the book and threw it away. I was like, I don't know why, but I don't like it. But one day I was watching YouTube, as we do, and I saw a woman, an artist, and she was painting on large canvases, and she was painting abstract. And for whatever reason, that made a lot of sense to me. I don't know why, but I said, I get that, because I was seeing her feelings on the canvas. That's what I was experiencing, not the
Wow.
house, not a dog, not the ocean. I was seeing her feelings. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. I want to try that. And so I got a big piece of cardboard and my kids' tempera paints from school. And I just started painting on it. I didn't know what I was. I've never made a scrapbook page in my life. Like, I've never, I'm not crafty. I never drew anything. That wasn't me. And so I just started literally using my hands and painting. And something just broke open. This joy, like this, okay, I got to keep doing this. I don't know why. It looks terrible, but I love it. And my husband made a comment. He said, Sheree, when you paint, you don't have a brain injury for those minutes that you're painting. It's like you forget. And I said, okay, then that has to be a key to moving forward. And so I just started painting more and more and more. And my husband is such that he's my biggest cheerleader. He just jumped
Oh.
in. He started buying all my supplies for me. And he was just like, whatever it takes, I need to see that light back in your eye. And so we started. And then my dad got involved. My mom and dad lived here. And he's like, what do you need? And he goes, I think you should start a business. So some friends and family were like, you need to start selling your art, because I started getting a little better. And I said, nope. This is my therapy on a canvas. Nobody wants to pay money for that. And they're like, well, I think people might. And
Yeah.
so I had no idea what the art world was about. I had no idea how to be and call myself an artist at the time. I was just like, this is therapy. This is my therapy. And inadvertently, because I had chosen large substrates, it was healing my brain injury on a physical level. And so
Really?
My arms were getting better, my legs, because it's very physical to paint on big canvases.
Yes, I can
It was
imagine.
kind of
Oh,
a
wow.
really weird PT, and it was helping me. And my brain injury, the doctors are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm painting. They're like, whatever it is, keep doing it, because it's making improvements.
Well, it seems
And
to me
so,
like the detail type little bitty work, that would be more right-brained or
or left brain.
left-brained. Yeah, more left-brained.
Because you're really thinking,
So you, yeah,
and I
and you're
wasn't
being
thinking.
careful. Yes. So you
Well,
were just feeling your feelings
I
onto
was
the
literally
canvas.
throwing paint, gouging paint, because I was angry. I was
Yes.
sad. I was so bitter at life, and it just took it. It took it from me. And so my dad came in through, and he said, okay, what do you need to start a business? I said, I think I need a studio, honestly, somewhere to work. And because I'm not on small substrates, I need a big place. And so my husband gave up his office. This used to be his office. in the house, and my dad built out the
Nice.
studio for me. So he hung this huge easel. I wanted a big easel that I could work on several works at the same time. And so he was amazing, and he was a big cheerleader of mine too. And so that was a week in September in 2023 that he came here and hung lights and did all this. And we had the best week, having fun and dreaming, like, oh, when you start selling your art. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know, but this sounds fun anyways. Well, that weekend, my parents are also RVers, loved RVing. And I'm just going to say this story takes a turn, a pretty sad and tragic turn. But that weekend they went to the Washington coast. My dad loved fishing. And so they went to RV up there for a week. And my dad went out on the jetty to fish, and a sneaker wave killed him. And
A
he was
what?
a sneaker wave, like a rogue wave, just came and took him and killed him.
Oh my God. I'm so
I still have
sorry.
my last text from him, me like sending him a mock-up of a logo that I was thinking about, and he was hearting it. And it was just an exciting exchange between him and I, and him dreaming with me. And anyways, that day was awful. And so I had to go up, and I was with my mom, and it's a long story. And but he was lost at sea forever, and the Coast Guard was out looking for him, the helicopters, the boats, the sheriff's department, everybody, and nobody, they couldn't recover his body. And it's very churny up there in the water because of where the river meets the ocean. And they said, often when people lost, they don't get recovered. And I said to God, I said, I think I can eventually accept that he's not with us anymore, that he died. I can't accept not being able to say goodbye, just seeing him one more time. And that story goes on, but 6 hours later, my mom was on the beach, and she just felt this calling in her heart, like dad saying, I'm coming to you. So she goes down to the beach. Two sea lions bring his body back to the
Oh,
sea. I know. It sounds
are
nuts.
you kidding?
Every time I tell a story, I'm like, that just sounds crazy, but it happened. There's no way that his body would have just washed up right where my mom was standing on the beach. And these two sea lions had one by each arm, and they swam him in and pushed him into the surf. And so there was a chaplain from the police department with my mom, and he helped recover my dad. And brought him in. So we did get to say goodbye and give him the military honors that he deserves so much. And it was a miracle. And so the pain of losing my dad was eased somehow by this miracle that God was in it, even as tragic as it was, and as much as we didn't want to lose him, God was in it. His fingerprints are still on that. And so that obviously we were grieving, and just horrible. But about a month and a half after that, I just heard my dad in my heart say, girl, stop this. I want you to move forward and make this business work. Do it. So I started Karen Dennis Fine Art, and I haven't looked back. It's been the rest of my life. It's been awesome. It's been so much fun.
Isn't it wonderful when you find something that you love and people appreciate it and they're touched by it? I think, often I wish I had that artistic bent. I did not get that in my gene pool. I'm very creative otherwise, but not in the fine arts or not in visual.
Yes.
I can't even do graphics very well, so PowerPoints and stuff. Like I say, my sister has the eye. I don't have the eye, and you can tell the difference between somebody who is a great, for instance, interior designer and someone who isn't. They may even do mostly the same thing, but there's just some difference. And when I looked at your website before this podcast to remind myself who you were and why I selected you to be on here, believe me, it's a lot. There are a lot of people out
I
there.
can't even imagine.
But I went and I was just blown away again. with the beauty and the expression. You have it. And I
Thank
saw
you.
your feelings.
Oh.
And like I told you, I have one that I want to show our group, our audience, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
I'm going to share my screen, the one that we talked about earlier. Yeah, let me pull her back up here. Can you see her?
No, I just see the top, like little sl there she is.
Okay. It took a little bit to get it up there. But tell me about this woman like you did before.
This one's titled "She Is Not Moved." And this was one of my earlier paintings when I first started. And when I first started, it was literally emotions on the canvas. And I just throw paint, make marks, gouge, sand back, add more paint. You'll see some asemic writing along the side on the left-hand side of it.
I saw that,
That's a
yeah.
huge part of my work. And it's not something that people can read and decipher what it says, but it was a journal of types for me. I would journal or write prayers out or just write my feelings out on canvas. And so at first I would cover those up thinking, oh, that's weird, my feelings, but I saw the beauty in it and that it really wasn't decipherable. Even I couldn't read it a lot of
Right.
time. And so it just became, now it's a big part of my paintings. You'll see often
It's
asemic writing.
incredibly, incredibly important.
And so in the process, I was telling you that this maybe probably has 15 layers of paint on it because I just kept layering and layering and layering and not really knowing what I was doing. And then sometimes with these paintings, I'll start to see figures emerge. And I saw her. And I just kind of went with it and trusted it. And when I finished and stepped back, I thought, that's how I feel. This is how I feel. I feel like I've been through things, you know, like she's kind of worn and, gouged into, but her eyes were just like, I'm not going anywhere. I am
She's
not going anywhere.
fierce. She
Fierce.
is fierce.
Yes.
I
Yes.
love that about her. She is fierce.
So I love this piece. She's an encouragement, because also it reminds me that I had no idea what I was doing, but the divine knew. And so
No.
the divine just works through us. We don't have to know what we're doing. We don't have to have all the training in the school. I've never gone to art school in my life.
Well, and the funny thing is that, like I was telling you, the reason why I do this show is that I'm not focused on the metrics. I'm not focused on becoming viral. I am just documenting these beautiful stories and these experience and these conversations and this wisdom for the universe to take and make sure that the right people hear.
Yes.
And so when you said that about your art as well, I look at this woman. I needed to see this woman today. So I think you're exactly right that the universe does put those messages in if you're
Yes.
paying attention.
Yes. And we don't have to have it all figured out on our end.
Nope.
We need to trust that intuition, and intuition is such a. I always thought growing up I had good intuition. I had good, a good. But what I've learned is intuition I have been able to develop because it's a relationship, it's a trust, and I've had to invest in that relationship with my intuition. And the more I invest, and the more I develop that trust, man, it's amazing. I know it now. I feel it now, and it doesn't make sense. It never makes sense. But I know when it's tapping on me, and I'm like, okay, we're doing it, we're going with it. And it makes life so much more interesting.
Well, and it's so, I feel bad. It's so hard for some people to just trust,
It is hard.
to
It is hard,
trust that feeling. And
when there's been trauma or betrayal in your life, and you're protecting yourself, even from yourself, it's that intuitive. But if we can find ways to heal. And for me, finding healing was through trusting my body to do what it needed to do on a canvas. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. And
Well,
like you
and to
said,
get better physically too.
Yes.
It wasn't just a mental thing. It was
No.
an emotional thing. It was a,
It was serving
that's
me on
just to me, it's
every level.
amazing. It's
Yeah.
amazing.
It really is, but that speaks to our wholeness as human beings, that if we can just tap into and give a chance to that those parts of us that are creative in whatever creativity route we want to take. You know, even I think of creativity as having conversation with you right now. This is a creative act, you know, just
Yes.
having conversations with people and sharing space, holding space for people. I think that's highly creative. And so it's not just painting or singing or,
Right.
it's anything, anything.
Well, to me, I think, and I have this mantra, not for my own self. I didn't make this up, but there's a phrase that I like. That we are all our purpose, all of our purpose is here to create value. And I'm not talking about monetary value. I'm talking about even like little incremental goodness,
Yes.
an encouraging word,
Yes. Yeah.
a beautiful picture like you have, or, art expression. Anything that creates value and helps another person
Yes.
in some way, in a positive way, move forward in their journey,
That's
I
right.
think that is both our intuition, and it is the purpose of why we are here on this
Absolutely.
earth.
Absolutely. I think what came to me, because I work with an art coach and she is my mentor, and she said, Tree, why do you paint? And I swear it took weeks for me to figure this out because I was like, oh, because, it helped me heal. And she's like, that's not why you paint. Let's figure out why you paint. And finally, it came to because I need to be healed and I need to bring healing to others. That's why I paint. It's not just for me. It does heal me, absolutely. But I need these pieces to go out in the world and bring healing to others because it's there. And I want to share that message of, it's not easy. It's painful. It can be painful, but there is the other side. There is the other side. Yeah.
So I could talk to you for days on
Me
end,
too.
but
I need to
I
come
have
down
to
to
say,
Florida. Yeah.
yeah, for sure. Please do come down. I always end my show with three questions, but before I do that, I wanted to give you an opportunity to share with people where they can go to see your work and be healed.
So I do have a website. It's KarenDanisFineArt.com. And I'm also very active on Instagram and Facebook. And that's Karen Danis Fine Art. So at Karen Danis Fine Art, and you'll find me there.
I'll make sure that gets into the show notes and thank you for
Thank
that.
you. Thank
All right,
you.
here are my questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's close your eyes then.
Okay.
In your mind's eye, tell me what appears when I say, wise woman. Go ahead.
Embattled woman. So that painting that you like, she's embattled, but she's beautiful, kind of in a primal way, not because of society's expectations of women's beauty, but just in a primal beauty and a rawness and this strength. But she gets that wisdom and strength from going through some things. So being embattled, she has her scars, emotionally scarred, physically scarred. But she still moves through life with a determination that all will be well. Yeah.
She will stand.
She will.
She will. Excellent. Okay, my next question. Where do you like to roam, Cherie?
Where do I like to roam? Honestly, anywhere the wind will send me. I love to travel. Whether it's, here locally, like just going to the beaches or the mountains, or internationally, I love discovering, I love experiencing that connection is the same everywhere. It doesn't matter where we go in the world, connecting with the earth, with people, with our loved ones, with ourselves, it's the same. The energy is the same. And that always fascinates me when I go around the world and just, feel that connection to people and just, ocean or mountain, whatever it is. I love roaming and not always know where I'm going to go. I like that too. I like the spontaneity of it.
I do too, for sure. Well, thank you for that. My final
Yeah.
question. What makes you restless in a good way?
My muse,
Yeah.
my creativity. It's like it when I'm trying to relax, an idea will come and I'll be like, okay, I gotta go do that. So it's a good thing because it fires me up to go try something or get an idea down, or just sometimes it's not an idea, sometimes it's just a color and a tool. And I'm just moved to use that color and that tool and just go to the, because I never know what my canvas, I approach blank canvases without knowing what it's going to look like at the end. I have no idea. And that's the thrill of it for me, because it's just as much of a surprise to me when I step back and think, how did this happen?
Yeah.
I had
How do you
no
know
idea.
when? All right, I have one more question because I can't stand
Sure.
it. How do you know when you're done?
Oh, that's I think that's every artist's question. Like, huh? Yeah, it's done. Honestly, because I'm an intuitive painter, there's always like, I'm responding to this. I'm responding to the shape. I'm responding to the color. I'm responding to that value. When the responding stops, that's when I feel like I'm done. Like, okay, that piece is finished. But I'm not perfect at it. Sometimes I'll put a piece to the side, and 6 months later, I'm like, nope, you're not finished. So it's ongoing. Ongoing. If it doesn't sell right away, it's at risk of being tweaked with.
It's like an old friend that you haven't seen in a while, and it comes back to you, and you have a brand new conversation about something you never even thought about before. Yeah, I
That's
get
right.
it. I
That's right.
get it.
Like,
Oh
hey,
my
there's a new
gosh.
light on it, and I keep growing, I keep changing. So my art does too, and so I see things differently, which used to freak me out, but now it's just good. It's all good. It's all
It's
good.
great. Well, I am so thrilled to have met you.
You
Thank you
too.
so much for being on the
Oh,
show.
thank you. It was a
I
joy.
just, I get you. I totally get you.
Oh.
And it almost makes me want to have a brain injury so I can do what you do, but not really. You know what I mean?
In a existential type of way.
Yes. And I think every time I have a great conversation like this,
Yeah.
that's my Sorry, brain injury. That leads me
It's an
into a new
assault on your
path.
ideas. It's an assault on how we think we are in this world. I love that too. I love hearing people's stories and points of view because it changes me.
Yeah, it does. Well, and I think we're never done.
Never.
No matter how old or invisible we supposedly become, we're never done. And we're never done blessing other people with our gifts. And thank you
Never.
for blessing us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you next time.